You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I talked to Dr. Tom Baker, who's one of four people who have just worked on a study around crowdfunding for medical purposes. So in New Zealand, the main platform for crowdfunding is GiveALittle, and 71% of medical crowdfunding campaigns in New Zealand are associated with illnesses rather than accidents, long-term disabilities, or other health needs. So they talked to 15 people around running campaigns on GiveALittle, and most of them, or all of them, fitted into the range between $1,000 and $90,000, though most fell in between $10,000 and $30,000 for their campaigns. And so within the interviews, they talked to them about some of the stresses that came with dealing with a campaign, while also having to go through the process of dealing with appointments, dealing with hard news, anything that comes along with having something that really threatens someone's life. So I started off by talking to Tom and asked about how crowdfunding is commonly used to avoid going into debt from medical situations.
Well, there are gaps in the public health system. Some things are funded and others are not. And crowdfunding typically addresses those things that are not funded or that are underfunded. But also it addresses the related costs associated with medical conditions, which might be having a carer that, because they needed to devote time to caring for their loved one, they cannot attend to their work responsibilities as they usually would. So there are ancillary costs to getting ill. And crowdfunding, much of the time, is about raising money for support that sits around the core cost of medical-related care.
So with all of these costs, it also comes a whole lot of new stresses. So how does starting a crowdfunding campaign change, or how does it add onto these life-changing changes that are going to go on with a medical appointment or making these huge decisions?
Anyone that's had a sick loved one would know that it's stressful just attending to their needs, to grappling with the changes that are being undergone by them and by the family and wider networks, and add on to that the burden of having to raise money to appeal to the crowd, to craft an appealing narrative to this anonymous crowd out there, to frame their loved one's illness in a way that captures the crowd's attention, in and of itself is an additional burden. And some people have the linguistic skills, the advertising savvy, the emotional capacity to do that extra work and to shoulder that burden, and others don't. So it lands on people unevenly and lands on them at a particularly stressful time in their life as they're trying to cope with the fallout of their loved one's illness.
So your study pointed out that while crowdfunding campaigns putting it out to like an anonymous pool of people, a lot of the time it is people that already know the person who's crowdfunding, close family and friends. Is there any way these people can be supporting someone who's going through a big medical event instead of going through crowdfunding?
The paradox of crowdfunding is that it appears to be an anonymous crowd that people are appealing to, but the majority of people that participated in our research, most of their money came from people they knew, from their friends, from their family, from acquaintances. And the challenge, in effect, becomes trying to make your campaign go viral, to access this larger body of anonymous crowd members. And there is an alternative for family and friends and acquaintances being involved, and that is to directly give money to the ill person and their loved ones. But often these people do not want to share the details of their illness that their family and friends may not know, or they may not know the extent or the precise details. And crowdfunding is a way to share that information more widely.
Okay, so What makes a campaign successful to the point where anonymous people will donate to it?
Making a successful crowdfunding campaign is a number of has a number of different factors associated with it. One is simply an advertising skill, to be able to pitch that person's illness in a way that captivates the crowd. As irksome as that sounds, it is a popularity contest, crowdfunding. So if you're able to craft a narrative around that ill person that latches on to the crowd's social biases, then you've got a greater chance of success. So appealing to the crowd's sympathies, knowing what they are or preempting what they are, becomes critical to the success of crowdfunding campaigns.
So one of the other things the study mentioned was equity issues that come with crowdfunding. So what sort of impact does crowdfunding have on equity issues?
Because crowdfunding is a popularity contest at its core, there are some illnesses, there are some people, as sorry as that sounds, that stand less a chance of eliciting the sympathy of the crowd. Crowdfunding reflects the biases that exist in society more broadly. So if you have an illness that is quite clearly beyond your responsibility, that you didn't have a hand in causing, for example, then you're more likely to receive the support of the crowd. If it was bad luck, you're more likely to receive support from the crowd. But there are many illnesses where society has misunderstood and misrepresented illnesses that they perceive to be due to the fault of the ill person rather than the circumstances that person found themselves in. There are also biases around standards of beauty, of different ethnicities. A whole range of things bear down on a person's ability to elicit the sympathy of the crowd. And crowdfunding really holds up a mirror to society and reflects the biases that society holds.
So when it comes to crowdfunding, medical issues are not the only issue out there that people crowdfund for. Are there any issues which are specific to medical issues at all?
In our sample of interviewees, around half were raising money for cancer treatment, and cancer treatment has been a widely publicised issue in New Zealand of not having access to the same level of care that comparable countries offer people with cancer. So that seems to be an obvious area that crowdfunding is addressing. And in effect, we could scroll through the live crowdfunding campaigns on any given day, and it identifies a series of gaps that exist in the public system. Now, some of those gaps might be quite reasonable, that they are for treatments that seem to be disproportionately expensive, that are burdensome, yet they do address a series of gaps that exist in the public health system and give us cause for concern about whether these treatments ought to be considered for inclusion in the public coverage.
That was Dr. Tom Baker from the University of Auckland. He was one of four people who worked on this, five people who worked on this study. So there was Dr. Tom Baker, and Bartros, who was also from the University of Auckland, Caitlin Newelt-Kearns, who we've talked to previously before, and Nika's talked to her before. She's part of the Child Poverty Action Group. Also Octavia Calder-Dorr and Susan E. Wildell about this. And it's really raising a few key issues around, well, what should be funded and what shouldn't be funded when it comes to our medical expenses in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.